Ramsey TV.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to have fun today at great professional risk. I'm going to answer a question that was asked yesterday on my video, Did Jesus Christ Raise Himself from the Dead? I'm not sure, even sure who wrote this. It was a funny question, and I gave a funny answer to it. But I didn't really answer it, but I'm going to answer it today. Does that make sense to you? It will very shortly here on MZTV. I am Martin Zender. That's what the MZ stands for. Some people, not many people, maybe there's one person really. Sometimes your show's too much about yourself. Why do you talk about yourself? Why do you use personal examples? Why are you your favorite topic? And my answer is, well, the MZ of MZTV stands for Martin Zender. So that's the advantage I have on my show that other people don't have. Therefore, I'm the person I know the best, so I often throw myself in there. Not afraid to, because God likes me. All right. So yesterday's video, somebody asked a question, and it was something. I'm going to go to it now, having not looked at it, and I'm going to answer this question live. I'm going to give you my impressions of the topics that this gentleman, I think it was a gentleman, like I said, I don't even remember his name, but I know kind of where it is on the comment section of yesterday's video. He says, Martin, you know, I know you've probably taught on these topics individually, but could you please do a show on, like, hell and the eons and the meaning of death and the purpose of the universe and the names of God and could, just like, he wants me to do all this stuff on one show. My answer was, would you like a side order of fries with that? You know, it's like, what? This is crazy. You know, I know you only have, you know, 10, 12 minutes, Martin, but, you know, just tell us everything you've ever said on individual videos and just say it on one video for my convenience. Por favor. So I said, yeah, would you like a side order of fries? And his answer was funny. He said, no, I just want you to upsize my order. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to do it. I am going to take the topics he mentioned, which I'm not sure of because I haven't looked at this since yesterday, because I wanted to do it live on the air here at MZTV. So here we go. This will be fun. See, there's no question too crazy. There's no request too outrageous. In fact, if it's the more outrageous it is, the more likely I am to delve into it, because I like the outrageous. Okay, there's Cayenne, Ruddy Duck. I have the funniest, smartest viewers on YouTube. Ruddy Duck. I don't know who Ruddy Duck is. That's a fun name. Lex YouTube. Still Crows. I like it. And then there's West Fallencamp. That's really a crazy name there. Here it is. Tim Scott. Never met this person as far as I know. He says, Good morning, Martin. Could you do a video on the snatching away, the tribulation, the 1,000-year kingdom, the great white throne, the lake of fire, etc. etc., including everything else. If I didn't mention it, anything that I didn't mention in this list, just do that too, could you? I heard you teach on all these things on separate videos, but I would like to hear them taught all in order on one video. What am I? One of the flying Walendas? What is this? A circus? And now, in ring three, the great Martin Zender will perform a feat of great daring do, never before attempted on live video. He will answer all the secrets of the universe and all their specificities while blindfolded. Okay, let's get a paper towel here. Do this while blindfolded. All right. Now that takes all the fun out of it. I like to see you out there. All right. Good morning, Martin. Yes, good morning. It was a good morning until I read this. No, seriously, I enjoy this and I love it. Because Tim Scott has a great opinion of my abilities. My gosh, could you just answer all these things in one video? I will sit back and enjoy it, Martin, while you sweat and labor, delve into that labyrinthical mind of yours, and divulge for us secrets that the angels have longed to look into. But who you, Martin Zender, lay on the table for us in fine order, with good lighting, and with a laugh track. See, that's a problem for me. I know you're out there laughing at some of the things I do, but I can't hear it. But I know that it's the invisible laugh track of my mind. It helps to keep me going. Here we go. Could you do a video on the snatching away? Okay, the snatching away. This is a problem that God has. Most of these things are practical answers to practical problems. God has a problem in that he has formed on the earth down through the ages since the time of Paul a group of people called the body of Christ. A lot of them died. A lot of them have died, including Paul. Nobody likes to die, but many of them have died. A lot of them that lived through the ages have died. But in every age, God has people in the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. He always keeps people on the stage, just like Israel. There's always a remnant of believers. The earth is never void of believers. There's not many, but he always keeps some. So whenever Christ returns to earth for the body, and I've always told you it's going to happen on a Thursday at 2 p.m. I'm just saying that. I don't know. It might be a Wednesday at 1 p.m. It's just the idea that it's going to happen on a day, and there are going to be people alive when it happens. And so the problem is we have dead people and we have living people. How are we going to make this happen? Well, it's easy, and Paul describes it in beautiful, simple terms in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17. When the time comes for Christ to take us to our celestial home, because our realm is inherent among the celestials, he is going to raise the dead first, and thereupon we who are remaining to the coming of the Lord, that is, we who are on this planet, when the time comes, we're going to be snatched away together with the dead. In other words, we're going to disappear. That's it. We're going to be snatched away to meet the Lord in the air. The snatching away is the body of Christ's version of Christ coming to Israel. But in that case, he lands on the earth, and the saints, the dead saints, are raised. But the saints that are alive at that time, for instance, the 144,000, they just walk into the new eon. They're changed somehow. They're made immortal. But it's not as radical a change as we will undergo. And here we go. See, I'm just doing this all off the top of my head, ladies and gentlemen. No preparation here. No notes. It's fun to do this once in a while. Because, you see, he's heard me teach on these things separately. Usually I have some notes and I've given it some thought before, but I haven't given this any thought. I thought you might enjoy this spontaneous eruption. Kind of like Vesuvius. The 1,000-year kingdom. You want me to explain the 1,000-year kingdom? Not a problem, Tim. It's a 1,000-year kingdom on this earth where Israel will rule the earth. God promised Israel that you shall be the head and not the tail of the nations. And he told Abraham that through you and your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. See, God called a guy. God called a guy named Abraham. And he decided to give him really detailed information about himself because nobody knew much about God, right? You could see the power of God in the sky. You could see the wisdom of God in the ants and the way they build those ant hills and the way they follow each other around and pick up dead bugs that weigh like 100 times their weight, that they're amazing creatures. We see the wisdom of God in all of these things. But God says, no, I want to give a certain people a specific revelation about myself. For instance, how holy I am. Nobody knows how holy I am. I'm going to bring forth the law. Anyway, you think this is a long way around? No, it's not. Stay with me. So God calls this guy Abraham. He's minding his own business, and you know, God came down. Three guys show up. God said, look, consider the stars. I'm going to make a people come out of you that are more numerous than the stars. Anyway, God did that, and he promised this guy that his progeny would rule the earth. That hasn't happened yet. Some people, like the preterists, say that, well, the kingdom has already come. The preterists are cuckoo. Okay? That the kingdom has not come. Because it's 1,000 years of peace. The wolf will lie down with the with the Lamb. The knowledge of God will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Do you see that happening yet? No. The earth is a oblate spheroid of moronic activity, generally. Solomon said, look to the wisdom of the ant, right? Well, I would compare human beings to ants, but I don't wish to insult the ants. But there will be a time God's going to fulfill his promises to this nation that came out of Abraham. And it's 1,000 years. That's why it's called the millennium. I think milli is the... I went to school... No, millennium. I went to school with her, but... It's 1,000 years. It's like a Latin prefix for 1,000. Like a millipede. And the question should have been asked by Tim, will there be millipedes during the millennium? And I would say, yeah, obviously there will be. But Israel's going to rule the earth for 1,000 years. It's like the pure version of the German Third Reich. Hitler thought he was going to have a 1,000-year Reich on the earth. See, people want to imitate it, but it's without parallel. It'll be a wonderful time on the earth. By the way, the earth will be restored. The Great White Throne. I love the Great White Throne. One of my favorite topics. Thanks for asking, Tim. The Great White Throne. I have three things to say about it. It is great, it is white, and it is a throne. It's actually not a literal throne, I don't think, but God is a king, and this is going to be a great judgment. All the dead, great and small, will appear at the Great White Throne. The Great White Throne comes after the thousand-year kingdom we just discussed. That's right, the thousand-year kingdom runs its course after this here existence right here. The one we're going through right here, this is going to run its course. Then you're going to come another time period called the thousand years. I don't know why I devolved into this accent. Some might say evolved into it, but I do dearly love it, and I'm going to continue for maybe about another 30 seconds. Then I'm going to go back to my usual self. We got this eon here. That's the next eon, the 1,000 years. As soon as that's done, they're going to be great white throne. Going to be great, going to be white, going to be throne. Anyway, those who have not been raised under the Israel gospel, see, they come in the Aeonian life early. Those who have not been raised in the body of Christ gospel, we come into immortality even earlier. For all the other people who have not been given the special information, special knowledge, special faith about God that will get them Aeonian life, for those people, and there's a heck of a lot of them, they are going to be judged at the Great White Throne. It's a judgment. In between eons 4 and 5. And finally, we're going to see righteous judgment. It says a small and the great will raise from the dead. I mean, some very famous people are going to be there. You're going to see Julius Caesar. You're going to see Napoleon Bonaparte. You're going to see Carol Wayne. I mean, Adolf Hitler's going to be there right next to Mother Teresa. See, people who've never had any faith, people who've never had any belief because God didn't give it to them. So there's going to be Mother Teresa and Adolf Hitler, right? And there's going to be Carol Wayne over here, and Arnold Palmer's going to be there, and of course, Billy Graham. Anyway, they're all going to be judged according to their acts. God has to do this. He's got to sort things out. He makes things right for these people. It's fair. It's loving. You have to remember that God is a loving God, so he judges people. Sorts it all out. And there's a book there nearby at God's right hand. Maybe somebody hands him the book. And it's a book of life. And these people's names are either written or not written in the book of life. Remember, they're judged according to their acts, not according to their faith. Why? They didn't have any faith. That's why you're here at MZTV. You learn these important things, judged according to their acts. We don't come into judgment because God has given us faith and we're justified. And that's a whole other topic. Tim didn't ask about that. I wish he had, darn it, because I got a lot to say about that. So everything's going to be made right, which brings us to the next. What's the next thing? The lake of fire. Oh, lake of fire, one of my favorite topics. The lake of fire is the second death, Revelation 20:14. If anyone's name was not written in the book of life, he or she or it is cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Don't worry, it doesn't hurt. It's quick. It kills. And you would say many people object to this because they don't like the way God does things. Many people in their own mind thinks, if I were God, I wouldn't do it that way. That's not fair. Why, if I were God, I don't even entertain these objections for a minute. Well, actually, I do. I entertain them all day, every day for 28 years. People, if they were God, for instance, Romans 9, the potter and the clay, God makes vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. And he does this irrespective of the people's behavior because he determines beforehand whether someone will be a vessel of honor, a vessel of dishonor. And people say to me, Martin, that's not fair that these people shouldn't have a chance to make themselves into whatever vessel they want. Why, if I were God, yeah, you could, well, if you were God, you could do it a different way. So people don't think it's fair. You're telling me God raises people at the great white throne, makes everything right. Some people still go into the lake of fire. Why does he do that? Well, he just does. If your name is written in the book of life at the great white throne, don't worry, we're not going to be there. The believers of Israel will not be there. All the other people will be there. They're judged in accord with their acts. If their acts are good acts, then the book of life will be consulted, and of course, their name won't be there. Fred Smith, congratulations, sir. Your good acts outweighed your bad acts. Off you go. Where? To the new earth. That's where these people whose names are written in the book of life go. And then you have your bad apples. Yes, you have your Billy Grahams, your Jeffrey Dahmers, your Mel Blanks up there. And so, hey, when did you include Mel Blanc in that list? I don't know, it just popped into my head. This is spontaneous. These are the risks I take, the professional risks I take for your entertainment and for your elucidation. Happy to do it, actually. So people whose names are not written in the book of life, they die again.
Martin, that's not...
Death is the absence of life. There's no passage of time in death. And the lake of fire is the second death. It causes the second death. This is a metaphor. The lake of fire is the second death. It's a metaphor. Study the metaphor. The biggest mistake I see people making in the scriptures, I'll end with this, is not understanding metaphors. Metaphors. I got another comment. It says, the rock was Christ, like the rock in the wilderness. See, the rock was Christ. I'm not sure what the point was there, but I think they was trying to make the point around the bend. So I'm not yet Jesus Christ is literally, identificationally God. But that's a metaphor. Like when Jesus said, I am the sheep gate. It's a metaphor. A simile is much easier to understand. I am like, Jesus said, I'm kind of like a sheep gate. Oh, now we understand. That's great. Let's say he holds up the bread at the Last Supper. This bread's kind of like my body in some ways, and it's going to be broken, and you're going to be able to feed off of it. You know, it's kind of like, oh, okay. But no, he uses the more powerful analogy, if you want to call it, the more powerful metaphor, and he says, well, it is a metaphor. He says, this is my body. And then people get all excited about that verb to be, that is. They get all excited about is. Ooh, it is his body, it is his body. Not realizing that the figurative part of a metaphor is the word is. Ah, man, I could talk about metaphors all day because this single figure of speech, ignored, unknown, not understood. Even Martin Luther didn't know what a metaphor was. He pointed out to people, Jesus said, this is my body. And so he defended that insane tenet of the Catholic Church, transubstantiation, that this bread becomes magically. It happened at my church where the altar boys ring the bell. That was a magic moment when that factory made wafer made out of wheat paste and plastic and super glue became mystically, mysteriously the body of Christ. And when you ate it, well, you were supposed to let it melt upon your tongue like sweet tarts. When you ate it, the presence of Christ came into you. What a tale of terror. What a journey of jerkdom is the only thing that comes to me, sorry. But no, all via misunderstanding the metaphor. So anyway, the people that go into the lake of fire, those who are not written in the book of life, and it's the second death. But ladies and gentlemen, do not fear. Don't fear the reaper. I said that the other day, and somebody said, I got that song in my mind for the rest of the day. Why'd you do that, Xander? It's what I do. It's one of the things I do. Death is eventually abolished. 1 Corinthians 15:26. People get so excited, but Martin, he got people in the lake of fire, the second death. What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? I don't have anything to do about it. God's going to abolish death. I never saw that verse, Martin. That's why I'm pointing it out to you. 1 Corinthians 15:26. God abolishes death. Read it for yourself. I didn't write it. 1 Corinthians 15:26. When death is abolished, there's nothing left but life. At that time, everyone who was in the lake of fire, whose names were not written in the book of life, they're released from the second death. They wake up because they've been dead, no passage of time, and they live with God for eternity. Yes, that's a good deal. So I have delivered today. I've delivered everything except the side order of fries. I think I've supersized everything. I commented more than I think Tim would even expect. And I hope Tim is satisfied. I hope you are satisfied. And I hope you continue to write comments on my YouTube videos because I love to read them. They're very entertaining. And who knows, your question may find airtime in the next edition of MZTV.